Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Leona Abraham Brando, and I am the prisoner advocate and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We are struggling in this country to stop the outrageous sentencing, abuses, and deprivations occurring in prisons across the country. Moreover, there are advocates focusing on the prevention of the school-to-prison pipeline. Stephen Bobo, former correction officer, now advocate for the youth and communities around the country, is with us once again to talk about his mission and goals for the youth in America who have been affected by the lack of role models in our communities and country in general. Stephen's passion is to end the school-to-prison pipeline. Will be extended to possible recruitments of volunteers around the country who would like to join in on this national effort to make positive changes. Stephen will discuss ways in which he can be reached for those of you who would like to volunteer time working in unity with Stephen and others, whether it be physical volunteer work or virtual, via the phones, emails, and or letter writing. So let's welcome Stephen Bobo once again. Stephen, are you on with us?
Yes, ma'am. I sure am. Thank you for having me again.
It's nice to have you again. So, Stephen, do you want to speak a little bit about what you're doing and the goals, just to update everyone once again?
Yes, sir. My name is Stephen Bobo. Of course, you heard I'm an ex. Also, I'm an ex-inmate. I did prison time. Also worked as a CO. And also now I want to do advocate for this. I'm also doing, like she said, prison, the school-to-prison pipeline. I want to put an end to that. You know, it's going on for a long time. Like, I did some calculation, and I thought, like, when I was in school, which I graduated in 1990, it was going on then. I had friends of mine that was in junior high, and they were going to juvenile detention then. And it didn't stop. After that, they even went back, got back in more trouble, even though, you know, that's their choice. They got back in trouble. But they were 17, and they were going into adult facilities. And I didn't think nothing of it at that time because, you know, I'm like, oh, they're going to big boy jail. You know, there's no longer TICA, which was juvenile jail in Ohio. I don't understand why a child has to go to prison. Even you do the adult crime. There's no reason to go to adult prison. I don't see it because, like I said earlier today, I said you have a 17-year-old, 16-year-old going to adult prison. The only thing you're doing, female or male, you're making them a target. A target for adults, meaning adult women, take advantage of them. And if it's sexually, financially, you know, the whole extort their parents for money to put on their books, say, I will do this to your kids if I don't get this. And well, I've seen that done as being a CO and also being an inmate. I want to do things, as you said, get people to join me in trying to petition their Congress, their people that are in the school systems that can help people like principals. Let them understand what's going on, that what you see. And there's some principals that will help you. I know some principals right now that will help you in Ohio and here in North Carolina. Also, I know I met a judge about a month ago that she even told me herself. She's a juvenile judge, and she said she never believed that it was a problem as the pipeline is. She's like, but it is real. She told me that herself. It is real. And she wants to work with me to help do something in North Carolina, which I'm going to join forces with her. We're going to try to do something. But like I said, if there was anything else I need just people to come and help and voice their and put their voice out. Get on the media. Get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. Get on Instagram. Put your voice out there and let people know that this is real. People need to be aware that these kids are going to prison. You know, okay, they might have done something wrong. But sending them to adult penitentiary is something that they shouldn't have to go through. There's other things they can do. There's other things that we can help do these kids to do it right, because their system, the system is already broken. The system is broken. We all know the system is broken. But put these kids in the system that's broken, and some of these kids have disorders. You know, they have all kinds of mental illnesses and stuff like that. But, you know, but you don't want to talk about that. But you want to send a kid to prison that has a mental illness. They might have autism because they don't know. They don't need to go to prison. That's not the answer for that. My friend Danielle, her son has autism, and I couldn't see him going to prison. I'm not going to stand back to watch that happen. My daughter, because he's an adult now, but I will never sit back and watch a child that I know go to prison. I will stand up and fight for that because there's no particular reason for that to happen. I don't see the reason why. I don't see why you want to send them to prison. That's, you know, like you said, people say, well, they did the time. They have to do the time. That's true. But sending a child to prison with adults, can you imagine if you had a child and they did something like steal a car or they robbed somebody or even if they shot somebody? Could you imagine them being in prison with, say, Jeffrey Dahmer? Could you imagine seeing something like that? Or Charles Manson, something like that. Your child, 7 years old, sitting up in prison with somebody like that. Could you understand? Could you grip your mind around that? Seriously, just sit there and think about that for a second. Grip your mind around your child who did something that was wrong. Okay, we all make mistakes. I made mistakes. But you put them in a prison cell with a person that is a mass murderer or just the worst of the worst. You know, everybody makes mistakes, but do you want your child in with somebody who's a serial killer or your child in there with somebody who does something that you rapes a child, child rapist, something like that? And trust me, they're there. And they could be in the same prison with your child. I don't get it.
There's a lot of parents,
yes,
even
yes.
Not only parents, but there's a lot of people in the community that talk so much about these kids messing up. One of the things is, first of all, if they are not only parenting their children, but if they're a friend to their children will not need to go out in the communities and find others that are going through what they're going through to talk to. They would be able to go to their parent
That's right.
and talk directly to their parent about the problem. So many parents, they believe in the discipline, but they don't believe in the love and to open that ear and to be that friend that they need to be. And a lot of these kids, when they go off course, they're not only affecting themselves, they're affecting the children of others, other people's children.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
these
yeah.
people
yeah.
in the community, yeah. these parents that talk so much about the issue, about these kids being wayward and doing all these juvenile things, but this is the time, because if they're not part of the solution, they're part of the problem. And this is the time
exactly.
that parents and others in the community, this is the time they can actually be a part of what you're doing. They can get a lot of good credit for the work that they are doing, and they don't even have to pretty much leave their home. All they need to do is join forces with you, join forces with others that are trying to do national work with the adolescents across
mm-hmm.
the country. Be the ear that they need, be the friend that they need, and join forces to work with you and what you're doing. What you're saying,
yes,
every
ma'am.
Bit of what you're saying is so true.
Yes, ma'am. Because, see, my whole thing, that's another thing I want to do, is to be able to go to these juvenile places, like the Boys Club and Girls Club, to go there and talk to them. You know, I've always been told that a person who does crime or does something, they're not going to listen to somebody who's never done it. I would go in and tell them, look, this is what I did. I used to be a CEO, and I'll have video and stuff like that tell you that I was a CEO and also what I used to do. And I'm getting my footage from when the news had me on the news. So they'll see I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. This is what I did. So let me tell you why you don't want to go. Let me tell you what I threw away. I threw away so much stuff, and I'm, you know, luckily I'm starting to get stuff back. But I lost so much stuff, just not my freedom, not friends that they really weren't friends that left me because I went to prison. Not I lost time with my wife at the time and lost time with my daughter. You know, stuff you'll never get back. It's bigger than you know. You're looking to sit back and think about it. You quit thinking about yourself and think about people around you. Just like you said, you're affecting everything. You're affecting community. You're affecting your family. You're affecting everybody around you. When you mess up, you're affecting everybody, just not yourself. Like I said, you're affecting your mother, you're affecting your father, you're affecting your brother, you're affecting everybody. These people hurt just like you hurt because you're going in. But sometimes I believe that the parents hurt worse than the kid, because you cannot believe your child's in behind them walls. And that's one big thing that everybody needs to understand. It's more of this than just the pipeline. It's about communication with your child. If you talk to your child and you tell your child, I love you. You know, you made a mistake. Okay, let's try to work through that. Let's see what we can do to make better decisions. Decisions is the thing. The main thing that we need to think about is decisions that we make. If you tell somebody, you tell your child, look, that's wrong, man. You shouldn't have done that. You know, but tell them why you shouldn't have done it. What could he have done to make a better decision? If this happens again, what can you do to make the right decision so we don't go back down this path again? Because next time you go down that path, it could be the end. Next time you go down that path, it could be death. The pipeline has two ways. It has going to prison, or you get out or don't get in trouble, or you get killed. There's two ways in that pipeline. You know, it's like a pick between which door you want to take. Hopefully you pick the right door that you don't never go. But then you got the door that goes to prison, then you got the door that's going to end to death. You know, and pick the right door. Pick the door that doesn't go anywhere. So don't put yourself in that situation that's going to make you have to go. That's the whole thing. That's the thing I want to help these kids understand. Don't make the decision that – don't put your life in the hands of a judge or a jury or a prosecutor that tells you you're going to do these 5 years of penitentiary. Don't have them do that. Because I tell you, when they told me I had 3 years, I was looking at 15, and they gave me three, I was happy, but I was still sad because I still got to go. I still got to go. 3 years to 15, I was happy about that. You know, that's nothing to be happy about, but I could have got 15 years. But I got 3 years, and I still got out in 22 months. But the simple fact is, if I never made the decision I made, I never would have put in that predicament. Don't put yourself in that predicament. That's really truthfully. That's how you beat the pipeline. Don't put yourself in that predicament. But we also need to find a way to get these kids in some type of program to get them working. And I mean decent jobs. I'm not, you know, there's nothing wrong with flipping burgers and so there's nothing wrong with that. But you also need to look at going back to school to think of stuff that's going to happen after high school, after junior high, after high school. Where are you going to work after college? Let's go to college. Or if you don't want to go to college, let's go. Just try to go to the military. Or let's try to do something that can get you going. Go to Job Corps. Get a trade. I used to work security at Job Corps. Get a trade. Get a trade. Any type of building houses. They had home improvement type of stuff, jobs in there. Electrician, plumbing. There's all kinds of jobs you can get. You know, just put yourself out there to be seen and to be recruited. Don't put yourself out there to be a knucklehead and people looking at you like, oh, that's another one. There's another one. You know that's what they say about us. There's another one. There's another. That's what they say of people of color, people of – it doesn't matter. I hate to say that, but minorities, that's what they say. There's another one. Oh, there's another one going to jail. You know, what can we do? What can they do? That's all they do. No, that's not all we do.
Or even
we
the
do
poor.
Other things and play
or
football
even the
basketball.
Yeah. Even the poor.
Yeah, you're right, even the poor.
And another thing that happens, too, a lot of these kids, their mothers or their fathers are doing some kind of drugs or some kind of wheeling and dealing,
mm-hmm.
and these kids are seeing that. And
yep.
Unfortunately, this government, too, messes up because, they legalize marijuana, but yet they talk about, you know, the drugs that are going, the crisis with the addictions in this country. Marijuana might not be bad if you have one here or there, but people are – I mean, I was driving down the street one day, and all of a sudden I'm seeing somebody at a stop sign next to me smoking weed, the guy in the back smoking. I mean, these are things that the government is a part of the problem. Some parents are a part of the problem because they're out there doing things that they wouldn't want their kids to do. And sometimes we have to be models for our children. And we have to protect our children from situations like this.
That's the truth. And you're right. And like you said, the government's legalizing stuff. They're saying they're legalizing stuff. You know, that could be a whole nother topic. But like you said, there's so much stuff that we have to protect our children from, and that's the whole another thing that we have to do is protect our kids, and make it safe in our neighborhood. I remember the days when I was growing up. The neighborhoods watched each other's kids. If you showed out with something and the grandmother across the street singing, you got it from her. And then when you got home, you got it from them. You got it home from your mama because you embarrassed her because they had to whoop you. See, that's the whole thing when a street raised a child, right? You know, like a village raised a kid. That's what you got to get back to. And you didn't have that many kids going to a juvenile place and going to prison. You did have some doing stupid stuff. Don't get me wrong. But when a whole neighborhood or whole village was behind a child and they raised a child, and I mean that they raised a child. I was raised by two or three mothers. Not just my mom. I had two or three mothers that would get on me if I did something wrong, would come up to the school. If my mom couldn't get to the school to get me, they would come and get me. You know, we don't have that anymore.
No.
We don't have that anymore. We don't have it anymore because it is, you know, I hate to say this, too many grandparents my age. I'm not saying that's the problem, but that is a problem. You know, that's a problem when you have kids, babies having babies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember back in the day when a girl got pregnant when I was in my school, and I was like not in the first at the ninth grade, she comes to school pregnant. You know, that was almost like a taboo. Oh, she's pregnant, so we can't talk to her. I don't want you around her. You know, but you know, and that's not good either to make her feel that type of way. But that's what we did because you know it was like oh, what does he do? Well, how did that happen? What happened? Well, we don't know how it happened, but where was her parents? You know, that was, I don't want you going over her house. She's fast. I don't want you going over there. But see, there is things nowadays where we don't do that because there's too many kids that have the too many grandparents. They're in the club. Grandma's in the club with the mama. And who's the great grandma's not raising a child because everybody else is in the club partying and stuff like that. And daddy's not around or daddy's in jail. So we won't look at it like that. That's how it goes. Because I know, like for me, I told everybody, my father wasn't around. My mother was in school and working, so my grandmother helped raise me. You know, there was no reason why my grandmother, she raised her kids, so why did she have to raise me? She raised her kids. All her kids are college graduates. So she's raising me again. Now, when is she going to have her life? My mom in school and raised me. And in school, and had people watching me so she could go to school and work. That's a problem too. You know, I'm not knocking mothers at all. I'm not knocking women at all because you have to do what you need to do to survive and take care of your kids. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But it goes back to what I said when I was on Father's Day. You can be a dad, but who is going to be a father? You know, my dad. I can say that all day long. My father wasn't a dad at all. I had nobody but my mom and my grandmother and my stepdad to take care and watch me. That was it. And then when I got my stepdad, I didn't know how to act because I figured, you know, now you and my dad, so are you just going to come in and tell me what to do? And I made it rough on myself with that because the only thing he did was try to make me grow up to be a man. And I was rebelling against that because I never had that male figure in my life. So that's a lot of things why these kids, especially the boys, they don't have that male figure in their life. That's a big thing.
It is.
I would love.
It is.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, even in the prisons, there's so many. I believe more than 50% are fatherless. And these kids today, you know what I think too, Stephen, a good role model are these fathers that are out there in the community celebrating Father's Day with their sons. Maybe for them to even take it upon themselves to seek out a child or a someone that's fatherless and have them spend the day with them and, you know, share their joy is parenting.
Yep.
Because I'm sure that would make someone feel good. So, you know, these are the type of role models that are needed.
Yes, ma'am.
There's none out there.
I don't see nothing wrong with that. I think that would be a great idea. I think that would be a great idea because if I had a son, that's one thing you're right. That's one thing I knew I would do is – let's get your friend and let's go to the baseball game. Let's go to a football game. Let's go watch a game. Let's go to the mall. Let's go to arcade. Let's go play some video games. Let's go shoot darts. Shoot pool. Let's go bowling. You know, something like that. We don't have to go out in the streets and do nothing stupid. Let's just be together and hang out. Sit up the house and watch TV. Tell me how was your day? How was your day? What do you think you could have done better? See, that's all I wanted too. I always wanted somebody to come in and say, what happened today? What happened? You know, my mom was at work. My grandfather and grandparents were older, so they wouldn't understand some of the stuff I was talking about. I want somebody to sit down with me and say, what happened today? What could you have done better today? Instead of that, I had to hear what, I had to watch TV, watch what they were watching, hear what the older kids were talking about. That's how I learned about sex and stuff like that, hearing what the older kids were talking about. I didn't have anybody come talk to me about anything because I didn't have that father come talk to me about stuff. You know, and then when I finally did get a father, stepfather, I didn't know how to treat him because I was looking at, no, you're trying to step in and take my mama. And, you know, that's my mother, but that's about to be his wife, but that's my mother. You know, so I'm thinking, like, you taking my girl. That's my mother, but you taking my girl. How you going to do that? You know, and that's one thing that my boys have to understand, that when you do get a decent guy that's coming to talk to your mother, and he's a decent guy, and he wants to take care of y'all, don't step on his toes. Let him be there for you, because your dad wasn't there. At least maybe he can teach you the way that you should be. Because I know I missed out a whole bunch of blessings by doing the stuff I did. And now it's coming back, and I talk to him now, and I tell him, I said, man, I said, I love you, man. I said, because you taught me the things you told me then, I wish I would have known, but I learned now, so I try to do it now. You know, and that's right. I go to his house when I go back in town, and I go see him, man, and talk to him on sports and talk to him. I said, man, you try to teach me the right way, and I rebel so much about it. And so I do apologize. I'm mad enough to apologize because I was wrong.
Yeah.
He's on Facebook, and I tell him to come and watch my shows. I come and watch shows all the time. But, you know, he works and stuff like that. But I just, you know, he does. He looked out for me, and I didn't respect that. And that's another thing. It's respect. These kids have to learn respect, but you also have to give these kids respect, because they're not gonna like you if you don't respect them. They're not gonna like you if you don't respect them. You have to respect them to get close to them to understand what's going on, and that whole thing was wrong. And I've had to learn that the hard way. And there's a lot of stuff I could have done better with my daughter. And I say that now. There's a lot of things I could have done better with my daughter, but I learned. Respect is the key. You have to be respectful to them, to the kids, for you to even have a chance to get to grasp what's going on. Because if you don't, you're going to miss them too.
You know, if I can just say one more thing too, Stephen, real quickly.
I'm sorry.
You hear a lot about anti-abortions, and one of the things I have a problem with, and I'm against abortions myself, but the only thing is, I don't condone anybody or condemn anybody for feeling that they might want to have an abortion, because these people are anti-abortion. But yet, if these women have their children, and then later in years the children mess up, everybody is out to get the children. You know, keep them in prison. You know, throw them in prison. Throw away the key. People are right now. There's a plan to abolish life without parole and allow prisoners who have served 25 years or more to be able to go up for parole. People in the community are screaming about it. They don't want to see it happening. But yet, these are the same people that would be screaming anti-abortion, you know, don't let them have these abortions. Well, if you're going to cry at one end for life, then cry at the other end to give these lifers a chance to be able to someday be free and maybe help others to prevent others from doing the same thing. It's sad because these things are happening.
Yes, and that's just like the three-strike law. You know, that's a whole other subject we could talk about one day. Three-strike law. You know, that's, you know, understand three strikes. It's like baseball, three strikes is out. But three strikes, you know, depends on what the crime is. You could do two bad crimes, do one silly crime, and you're going away for life. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think the three strikes stuff, I think it's stupid. Because, you know, it's easy to make all these prisons, but, you know, you got to make all these prisons. That's where you try to fill stuff. You try to fill with people. And that's not the way to be. That prison is not the way. Prison is the answer for some things. Don't get me wrong. But some of these things you guys locking people up for is stupid. Like I just said earlier today, you put 15-year-olds inside of a penitentiary with grown women. No, like I just said, sit back and think about it. How would you feel if your child was 15, 16 years old and was in a prison with Jeffrey Dahmer or one of these big, one of these mass murders? How would you feel about that? How would you, would you feel like your son should be there? Or would you feel like your child should be there? No, I don't feel like a child that age should be in a penitentiary with somebody that has that kind of pedigree. I don't think my child should be in there. No child should be in there for that. There's no reason for them kids to be in prison penitentiary. And if people say, you do the time, you got to do the time, that's ridiculous. You know, that's just not gonna solve nothing. What's the problem? What made them go back out there and do the same thing again? There's a problem. There's a problem that we got to learn how to fix. There's something wrong. Sending people to prison if you don't know the answer, that's just like you just got a bad scratch on the leg. You just put a band-aid over top of it. That's gonna hold it for a while, and then you bump it again, open the wound back up. It's the same thing. You're not serving nobody's no justice by sending them to prison. And you don't have no answers. You can't send them to prison no answers. These kids don't need to go. Kids don't need to go there. We all know it's all about money. We know that. That's all. It's all about money sending these kids to prison, and there's no reason for these kids to go to prison. It's just silly. I know I said some things about, you know, I really believe the kids should go to prison. No, they don't go to prison. My thing was, you do the time, you know, like I said, you do the time, you got to do the crime. No, I'm wrong for that. You don't have to, because it's not showing no justice. It's not showing no. I don't think it's doing making good on statistics and looking good on the books. But you're not telling me what happened. You're not telling me what's the problem. How can we prevent it happening again? You're not doing that. So that's why I said we got to stop the spotlight. We need answers. That's it. We need answers. If people can give us answers, then maybe we can stop it. But until you give us some answers, we're just going in a circle. That's it. And that's it, all of it. No matter what color, how old, we're all going in a circle with it.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to get answers. And like I said, you guys please find me on Facebook, join me, and we can find these answers together. I said, because I don't want to take no credit for something that I'm helping people with. We all need to do this. We all need to be together to stop this. I don't want no credit for nothing. Just let me know you want to help me, and we can do this together. My goal is when I don't see no more kids going to prison, when I see no more kids going to prison and they're home with their families. That's my payment. That's my joy. That I know I did the right thing. So I know when I go to heaven, God said, "Did you do your job?" I said, "God, I did my job best as I could." And that's all I want. I don't need no joy and all that. I don't need no parade or nothing like that. Just join me to help me fight this battle. That's it.
Now, Stephen, can I ask you to again give the audience your contact information, if they want to be a part of this mission that you're on? And again, it's nationwide. You can work with Stephen Bobo in a physical way or virtual volunteering, whatever way. And Stephen, can you just give them your contact information and maybe just fill them in a little bit on how they can connect with you?
Yes, ma'am. You guys can contact me with Stephen Bobo, S-T-E-V-E-N, Bobo, on Facebook. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm all the sites. You can also, like I said, you reach me on there. I will actually inbox me. I'll actually give you my private phone number and also give you my phone number to be directly for the prison pipeline. We have that. I got two young ladies who helped me out, Danielle Andrews and Chrissy Wilson. They're the ones that helped me out. They will get back to you, and they will actually let you know what's going on, and they'll get back in contact with me because I'm busy sometimes with school and stuff like that because I'm in school myself. You know, and they will definitely get in contact with you, and I will definitely get back in contact with you. But if you guys want to help me, anybody, I'm not asking for no money. I'm not asking for anything. Just your time to listen, and we can work together to stop it. That's all we need to do is stop this pipeline so these kids have a chance. I had a chance. They deserve a chance.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I said I had a chance.
I just wanted to say thank you so much, Stephen, for being on with us and for giving this information. And, again, we will have you back on next Thursday or Friday, which is good for you.
Whatever day you want, every day you can do it. I'm open any day.
Okay, next Friday, same time. That'll be June 28th at 6:30 p.m.
Yes,
we will
ma'am.
Have Stephen on with us again. Thank you so much, Stephen, for your information, for your help, and what you're doing is just awesome. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, everybody.
We look
everybody.
Forward
Please,
to having you on next week.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Stephen. Thank you, and we will talk with you next week. Thanks again.